On your mark, ready, set, let's go. Dance floor, bro, I know, you know. I go psycho when my new joint hit. Just can't sit, gotta get jiggy with it. Hello, Gamecock fans. This is T-Bone with the Rubber Chickens blog. I am sitting in today for Buck in this edition of Buckshots. This edition, we're supposed to look at the 1998 Gamecock football squad. And for whatever reason, Buck continues to assign me those seasons where we actually fire a football coach. So, spoiler alert, by the time the 1998 season comes to a close, we will have fired Brad Scott. And so let's talk a little bit about how we got there. You may remember that when the 97 season ended, there was a certain amount of hope still in the program, hope for Brad Scott being the person that would fix what was wrong with our Gamecocks, and hope that we would have a good year. The 97 season ended unsuccessfully, kind of on a sour note with a few losses in a row, but those were easily explained. We had a lot of injuries. We had an injury at the quarterback position. We had injuries elsewhere, and we had some young talent coming on, and so we entered 1998 hopeful for the best. We opened against Ball State. The lowly Mac representative who came into Williams-Brice Stadium on a warm September afternoon and proceeded to run up and down the field on us. We ended up winning that contest 38-20. I was there with the G-Man, and it was a frustrating game because although we won, they kept converting. They got a lot of first downs in that game. And we, on the other hand, did not. We would get in third and short, and our guys couldn't push it over. They would get in third and short, and they may have even had a couple of fourth down conversions, but they would convert. And so it was a lot of concern as we left the stadium that day about what were we like in the trenches. Take our athletes on the wings and in the backs out of it. What were we like in the trenches? And really looking back on the Brad Scott era, that was one of the big problems throughout. But as we're walking out from the Ball State win, G-Man looks at me and says, you know, we're not going to win another game. And I laughed at him. I assumed we'd win, you know, three more games. but he turned out to be correct, which is not a usual thing for the G-Man. The season would play out. We would not win another game. We had Georgia come visit us the next week. And they beat us 17-3. I don't remember much about that game other than it was hot and other than we could not move the ball. So Georgia beat us. We moved on. We then had Marshall coming. Marshall was new into the 1AA ranks, and so we were probably expecting that to be a win. I remember that game because it was a night game. I don't know why we were playing Marshall at night. I guess that was because of the heat. But the Marshall fan base all wore green polyester. And I just remember feeling so sorry for them because they looked so out of style, and I knew their team was going to get beat. And I felt sorry for them all the way up until the final few moments of the game where I believe they kicked a field goal to beat us right at the end of that contest. But they were celebrating wildly over in the corner where the visitors sat at that time. So the polyester green won that day, and we were depressed. You really started hearing some rumblings about Brad Scott after that Marshall loss, and they only were made worse the next week when Jackie Sherrill and the Mississippi State Bulldogs came to Williams-Brice Stadium and just blanked us 38-0. That was a good Mississippi State team. I believe they went on to win or at least play in the Cotton Bowl that year. But still, that's no excuse for losing a home game 38-0 like that in the conference. We then went to Ole Miss. That Ole Miss team was coached by Tommy Tuberville, who seems to have made a stop everywhere on that side of the conference. We lost that game 28-30. I only remember that game. It was only available on radio, but I remember it because I listened to it in the parking lot of a condominium at Isle of Palms. My wife and I had taken our brand new baby boy for a trip down to the beach. I think he was 6 months old. Just wanted to see if he liked the beach. You know, he didn't have a clue what was going on, but new parents do those things. And I got down there and realized, wait a minute, this afternoon game with Ole Miss, I'm not going to get to listen to it. So I sat in my car and I listened, and I thought we were going to win that game. I thought we were going to win that game from front to back. And I don't remember how we lost, although I think we threw an interception at the end. We'll have to check back on that. But I do remember listening to it in my car. It was a Pontiac Grand Am, and I think I bent the steering wheel at the end of that contest. Next week we played at Kentucky, a pretty good Kentucky squad. I know that's hard to imagine now. There was an editorial written, I think, that week by a beat writer up in Kentucky questioning why we had ever even been admitted to the conference in the first place. And it's funny to think that Kentucky could look down their noses at us in football at that time. Shows you how far we've come. But they beat us that day, 33-28. Don't really remember any details of that game, although that was a Howl Mummy team. Tim Couch was their quarterback, I remember that. He went on to have a little success. We then came back home and played Arkansas, who was ranked at that time. Arkansas was coached by Houston Nutt, and they just shellacked us. I was at that game, but I don't remember how long I stayed. They absolutely shellacked us, 41-28. Arkansas would go on that year to play in the Citrus Bowl, which is an odd bowl pairing. I'll talk more about that in a moment. We had Vanderbilt the next week on the road. We figured we'd go up to Nashville and get back on a winning track, and no, we did not. 14-17, we lost that game. I remember listening to it on the radio in my apartment. I mean, in my house at that point. In my house by the old radio, but did not enjoy it at all. I remember walking around in my yard and questioning my sanity for following these Gamecocks. And then the following week, the Tennessee Volunteers came to Williams-Brice Stadium, went to that game. That was T. Martin and the Volunteers that would go on to win the national title that year. And they would have probably beaten us anyway, but I think we turned the ball over. The thing I just remember is Troy Hambrick's fumble. I remember him fumbling early in the first quarter and just kind of at that point knowing we were beat. We then went to Florida, who Florida was one of those good Florida teams, and they beat us 33-14. I have no memory of that game. And then we played Clemson, and we played them in Clemson. And you may not remember this, but it was not a foregone conclusion that our 1-9 Gamecocks were going to lose to Clemson that year. Clemson was, I believe, 2-8 entering that contest. So the winner, if we won, would be 2-9. The loser, if Clemson lost, would be 2-9. And I remember I was devoutly praying for that outcome. The Clemson administration had had enough of Tommy West. They actually fired him a day or two before the game. I remember we all knew in the stands in the Little Death Valley that day that Tommy West would not be back, and we assumed but did not yet know that Brad Scott would not be back. As it turns out, we lost 28-19. We scored first in that game because I remember we went up 7-0. Anthony Wright scrambled a bunch on the first drive, and then they had a running back named Austin. I don't remember his first name, but Austin. I think he wore number 4, and I think he ran for 200 yards on us that day. At least it felt like it. We could not stop that cat. We scored late to make the score a respectable 28-19, but I think we missed the extra point, and it was just a fumbling bunch of mess. And everyone kind of knew that Brad Scott was done. I think they had decided to fire him on Friday, but they didn't tell him till Monday morning. And Mike McGee told him. He came out and gave a tearful press conference that really tugged at my heartstrings at the time. Said he wanted to always be a good representative for our university. Talked about his wife who had broken her leg at one of the away games in the stands and said that was the only break we got that year. So I felt bad for Brad. He then proceeded, and some of you new fans may not remember all this, but he proceeded to take a job just within a couple of weeks at Clemson as the offensive line coach for Tommy Bowden, who had recently been hired there at Clemson. So not only did he go, he allegedly took our playbook, which I don't know what good that would have done, considering we hired somebody with a different offense, but he also took our recruiting information and took a car. He took one of our cars and drove it to Clemson and apparently told Mike McGee, it's a state car, so y'all figure out how to get it back home. Needless to say, he burned a few bridges, and the next year he would really stick the knife in to all of those players that he recruited at Carolina and all those fans who had yelled for him for years, but we'll talk about that more next time. One final note, it was an interesting year in the sense that we played Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and Arkansas from the West, and you would think that's about as good a draw as you could get from the West. Not that year. Not that year. I'm not suggesting that we would have won many games, but interestingly enough, Mississippi State won the West that year. Arkansas finished tied for first, but lost the tiebreaker. And then Ole Miss ended up tied for third with Alabama that year. The two bottom dwellers that year were LSU and Auburn. So you would have thought, if you'd seen no schedule with Alabama, or seen a schedule with Alabama, LSU, and Auburn all missing, that we'd gotten a break. Well, guess what? We caught those teams when they were really good. So that was unfortunate. Anyway, the year came to a close. Brad Scott was fired. Rumors were running rampant that we were going to hire a big-name coach. Mike McGee said as much. We were going to find someone with a proven winning record. And shortly after the year ended, Lou Holtz started making some cryptic comments on television, and before long, he was hired to be our head coach. Start of a different era. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we move into the 99 season. All right, thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed this review of the 1998 season and continue visiting with us at the Rubber Chickens blog. Again, this is T-Bone. Thanks for listening. Big Willie Styles all in it, getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it. What? You on the ball with your kid? Watch your step, you might fall trying to do what I did. Mama, I'ma come close side in the middle of the club with the rubber duck. No love for the haters mad cause I got floor seats at the Lakers. See me on the 50-yard line with the Raiders. Met Ali, he told me I'm the greatest. I got the fever for the flavor of a crowd pleaser. DJ play another from the prison, sure highness. Only bad chicks riding my whip. South to the west, to the east, to the north. Bump my hips and watch them go off, but go off. But yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop in the winter order. Summertime. I mix it high, getting jiggy with them. Getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it. 850 IS if you need a lift. Who's the kid in the drop? Who else will slip? Living that life, some consider a myth. Rock from South Street to 125th. Women used to tease me, give it to me now nice and easy. Since I moved up like Georgia Wheezy. Cream to the maximum, I'll be asking them. Would you like to bounce with the brother that's platinum? Never see Will attacking them. Rather play ball with Shaq and them. Flatten them, like getting. Thought I took a spell, but I didn't. Trust the lady of my life, she hitting. Hit her with a drop top, with the ribbon. Crib for my mom on the outskirts of Philly. You trying to flex on me? Don't be silly. Getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it.